in her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans. We
NBA season still months away. And yet, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
I can't hear myself. It's a fun game for me.
But you can hear us.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, I'm glad that you can hear me. I assume that other people can hear me. Maybe it's my brain censoring. It's like, you know what? We have enough of you. Just turn that down. NBA season's still several months away. And yet, look at Miles Turner bringing value on a Thursday afternoon or a Thursday morning in July. Miles Turner tweeting yesterday. I want to make sure I read it correctly. He said, when y'all be on dates with your significant other, do you sit on the same side of the table or across from each other? So Evco, our buddy Evco, who does Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio each and every morning before Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, responded.
Miles Turner is?
The new Buck center.
Oh, from Indiana. Okay, continue.
Frank Winters.
Evan Cohen.
There were 14 people out there thinking the same thing.
Evan Cohen is the name of Evco. Yes. He hosts on Sportsmanlike. Yes. Before that was on SiriusXM for years, did a show on
Edwin
ESPN
Korn.
West Palm. Yes. It was mistakenly called Edwin and Korn by a big voice guy. It became a running joke for years and years here at GKB. What else? What other biographical information would you like?
I think he was straight on Evan. It was the Miles Turner thing that was giving him some trouble.
Went to Texas.
To be fair, you haven't seen Miles Turner in a Bucks uniform yet, but you won't see Miles Turner in a Bucks uniform. So what do you think, Gabe? December?
October?
No, I'm talking about when Chewy will see Miles Turner in a Bucks uniform.
They play on Christmas?
Three. Yeah.
They play on Christmas.
Their schedule's not out yet.
They have a lot of guys with the same name. My defense, same name. Same name.
Wait.
You want me to pull up the roster?
I don't believe they have a Miles.
Doesn't matter. It's the same name. Like Travis Wilson is the same name as Miles Davis?
Turner.
Okay.
Miles Davis.
So I think your problem. Okay. So no. I understand where he's coming. I'm about to defend you. Where he's coming because they have a couple of juniors, right? So you have Gary Trent Jr., you have Kyle Porter Jr., and in Chewy's mind, that's the same name.
Yes.
You know how juniors work, right?
It's named after the dad.
Perfect. Just wanted to make sure. Hey, listen.
Why don't they do that with girls?
Ooh, I don't know.
Why is
patriarchy?
It a guy thing? Beef jerky?
Let's move on.
Beef jerky?
What did he just
say? He said the patriarchy.
Oh.
And you thought he said beef jerky. Which, to be fair, I could make a case that those are one and the same, actually.
Okay, continue. All right, we're moving on.
So Evan Cohen responds to Miles Turner, newest buck from the Pacers, as we have established here. And he says, this is almost as difficult as where to actually eat. I may have a cop-out answer, but it is next to, but not on the same side, nor across. If it's a square table, you sit at the two closest seats, but again, not next to, nor across. What does he mean by that?
Well, because in the square, you have the four sides. So, you know, so it's one side, and the other.
So he's saying corner, corner.
Corner, corner.
Take the corners.
Yeah. So you're next to each other.
Hold on. Your significant other.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it bothers me when the blammer, I take him out to lunch, he goes corner to corner with me. I'm like,
he's sitting on the other side,
I need
please.
A little room here.
And you're a big dude.
Yeah.
See, that's what I was going to say. This, to me, is person dependent. Dario, my husband, is the biggest of our family, right? He's the biggest of so he needs the most space. He's also an only child, so he gets a little feisty when people are like rubbing up elbow. Then you also have if people are left-handed or right-handed and you try to arrange people according to that so you don't have the bumping and the jostling as you're forking.
Yeah.
But I think this is just a one-on-one situation. Because, if you've got kids like that, I think this is just what Miles is asking. One-on-one situation. You, your significant other, are going out to eat. You're sitting at the square table. Are you sitting across from each other or next to each other?
Never next.
Ah.
So you sit across from each other?
Think
yes.
about that.
Yeah.
You're a next to?
Uh-huh.
No, really? I think I go across with Ange.
I did not know that you were next to.
No, across from each other. You're yelling. You can't get across
yelling.
The table.
Eye
it's not...
contact. What kind of table are you sitting at, King Arthur?
Maybe you guys need to go some fancier places.
Bigger tables. No. In fact, when we walk into a restaurant, and the other thing is that you got the booths sometimes. You know the booths? I think of like a P.F. Chang's, okay? Are you with me in
yes,
the P.F. Chang's?
Yes, I got you.
And they got the round booths around the whole exterior
of
the
place. If
you're
taking a round booth for two people, you need to be booted out of that place.
You mean the half moon?
Yeah, that's
too big for two people.
But what if it's a slow day?
You're like two people.
You can take a half booth at P.F. Chang's on a lunchtime. You can. It's okay. It's allowed.
No, that's...
It's way more comfortable than the chairs.
I understand, but there's two of you. The booth, the big thing is for a big group of people.
Me and Angie don't like touching.
Okay, so...
Like the blammer
why you
when I sit
liar.
Well, when the sun goes down, it's fine. But...
Couple of glasses
like
of wine.
The blammer will talk with his hands, and you know how people that reach out and touch you. I don't like that. Don't touch me. It's kind of like, right?
I'm gonna start.
So
is
it creepy?
I'm gonna start touching
you
more just to freak out.
No, I don't like being touched.
Is this part of why you don't want him on the corner because
yes.
he's too close?
Yes.
He can touch. If he's across, at least it's harder for him to make that physical contact.
Yes. I don't like that.
I will say this: I have walked into restaurants before and seen dates and seen couples. Sitting next to each other, and I always think it's weird. I'm always like, oh, what are you trying to prove? Oh, you guys like each other so much. Oh, you have to sit next
sounds
to
like
each
someone's
other.
Insecure over here.
Not insecure.
Just making judgments about other people.
I don't think I'm alone on this. I think that the sitting next to is bizarre.
Like, you'll sit next to Z?
Yeah.
In a booth?
No, well, not in a booth. In a booth, it's a cross from situation.
I'm saying in this
square table situation, because it's the only one that exists.
It's not for me,
The square table situation, we will go next to each other. Yes, booth is bigger, so you got to sit across from each other because you can't sit next to each other.
Oh, that's what I was
talking.
I'm picturing you two canoodling in a booth
next to each other. No, this is a next to only in the square table situation.
Yeah.
Where you're not across from each other, you're sitting next to each other.
I also like to put my legs up. On the chair next to me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know. You know how many times we catch your thigh meat on the camera over here?
Yeah.
Well, you can still do that if you're sitting next to someone.
Well, that's kind of a sign, like, don't sit next to me. But bro, we'll walk around the other side and sit on the other chair.
Okay.
The blammer.
Let's take this one step further. Can you have a conversation with your buddy, the blammer, and let him know that his seating choice offends you?
I'm assuming they've already had the conversation. He just doesn't care.
Like, when we have Blammer Thursday, I have four
chairs.
Stools at, what do you call that, center island?
Yeah, it's kind of like bar stools at the island.
And I put his drink before he gets there in his spot, and I'm all the way on the fourth seat.
Okay.
So you have a two-seat buffer.
Yes. But when we show up at every restaurant, because he's old, he's got to go to the bathroom, I order his drink, and I put it across, and then he grabs it and moves it to the corner.
Well, I mean, maybe he's hard. I mean, he's an older guy. Maybe it's tough to hear, you know, especially in a restaurant situation. A lot of murmuring going around.
Yeah.
He wants to hear the thing, and he wants to make sure that you hear when he calls you fat boy.
Yeah.
He wants to make sure you hear
that. Yeah. I got to text him right now.
Are you gonna tell him to sit across from you from now on? Hey, I've been thinking. Hey,
no, it's 4 o'clock, Blammer. I forgot it's Thursday.
All right, fair enough. So, how do you sit when you go to a restaurant? And I think what we're doing here is we're breaking down some of the nuance, which is again, I was picturing booth. I was picturing P.F. Chang's circle booth, and those booths are big. When Dario and I will go have lunch, and we will sit across, it does feel egregiously far. It does feel like you're way over there. But I also don't feel comfortable sitting next to him. So then it would be, like you said, Gabe, kind of splitting the corner. So he's on the one end and I'm sort of splitting the corner and we're like 90 degrees away from each other as opposed to 180,
yeah,
if that
so
makes sense.
For example, we went to, for our anniversary last month.
Well, that's
another detail,
though. Anniversary feels different than just your average lunch.
Sure, but if it's just a square table, again, we're sitting next to each other. We're not sitting across from each other. It's a smaller square table, a high top, so we're sitting next to each other, kind of off in the corner.
I think I go across.
Especially a square. Rectangle, different story.
Yeah. What about round? Four seats.
All right, King Arthur.
Then it's across, not next to. Because then you're actually closer. On a round high top with four seats.
Oh, I was going to say a high top. That makes sense. I was going to say, I don't know how many restaurants are doing rounds because the whole point is you want variety, you want options.
Yeah.
So you square them up so that you can go.
I prefer a round table.
Again, King Arthur.
Yeah.
Am I your Lancelot?
Yeah. No one's in charge. Except when it comes time to pay the bill.
Wait,
when
do
you're
have
with
a round kitchen table?
At the lake we do. How oh, no, sorry. At both houses.
How many people can get around it?
I'm sorry. At all three houses we have round tables.
Any other properties that you want to
keep
add?
Reminding
to your,
us how wealthy you are.
I'm just
any,
I'm
any
just,
properties you bought
we're
between
big on
yesterday
the round.
And
we're
today
big on the round.
That you want to you know fill us in on?
I think
sweet
the round
brag, bro.
Is tough with four. I think the round has to be minimum five people.
Five, four, four.
How many people?
I got a five and I got a four, four.
800-990-3776. Four people on a round, that feels weird. Now you're cornering the fours, right? You're like,
yeah.
It ends up being a square anyway. You're just, you're at the points. You're at the corners. Tim, the trash man, says, I prefer to sit across from my wife. Sitting next to each other is weird. You have to turn your head to talk, and you're too close to hear the other person chewing or smacking. No, thank you. The yard possum
seems
from
like
Lake
you've
Mills.
Got some other issues you need to address there, Tim.
It also depends on the seating arrangement. How close the tables are to the person you'd be backing up to if you sat across. That's another nuance, right? How tightly packed are the tables in the spot, right? If I have a choice between sitting with my back to somebody else and I back out of my chair and boom, we're hitting every time, maybe then I do decide to sit on the corner like Gabe and his wife do when they go out to dinner. 800-990-3776. Chewy's song of the day is Don't Stand So Close to Me by The Police, that from our buddy Chef Ed.
Yes. Yes, I like space.
Because you're a big guy.
Respect people's space. Why are you so quiet back there?
I was working on our stream.
All right, what does Mussolini prefer?
We sit across from each other.
Like normal people.
Yeah, I don't want to be touching elbows. Also, if you're getting multiple drinks, cocktails, waters, if we've got appetizers we're sharing, we're running out of real estate. I'm trying to utilize as much space to make it as comfortable as a position as possible. Also,
how many appetizers are you using when the plate is empty? You move it to the other side of the empty
now
table.
Now who's judging? Yeah. Now who's judging?
Well, no, I'm just
what was the last time you went to dinner with us? Because we went to Good Kind with four people. And guess how many appetizers
there
were?
Well, Good Kind's a little bit different because it's all small plates.
It wasn't small plates. The champagne oysters, breaded oysters,
Look,
was a massive
it.
Heap.
You're in the minority, okay?
Yeah, and we think you're a little
you're
weird.
You're in the minority. We think you're a little bit weird.
I think
I'm just
going to
parrot everything
Wait,
that
out,
she
though,
says.
Is it something that your wife insists on? Is this like you and your, because Gabe, you kind of, that's kind of your thing, right? Like if your
honestly,
wife said she wanted to sit next to you, you'd be like, absolutely, let's make it happen.
We have never talked about it. It's never been a conversation.
Is there a potential that you're sitting next to her and she'd prefer you to sit across from her and she just hasn't said it?
I'd like to think at this point she'd let me know.
But is it possible?
No, so like yesterday we went to a brewery yesterday, got a couple of drinks during happy hour. And I don't know if it's just easier also with the dog because then we're kind of passing the leash back and forth. So we're sitting next to each other on a square table.
What about a picnic table? Let's say you're sitting outside at one of these beer gardens and you got
across.
A picnic table.
Yeah, that's an across situation.
All right, so you're not totally weird.
No, like you can't, like, I don't think you want to be directly next to someone, but if they're on an angle, it's not that big of a deal.
What about a shared communal type table? I'm thinking you go to Summerfest and they got all those tables over there by the eating area. How do you take up space but also leave space for other people on a busy day? Are you across then and then you know you're going to be sitting next to a stranger likely? Or do you sit next to because the table becomes that barrier?
Don't find myself in
All
those
right.
situations.
How about the movie theater? Empty theater.
You leave a
One
spot.
Seat removed?
I mean, usually, like, we usually get, like, a popcorn to share, so we're going to sit next to each other.
Yeah, the popcorn goes in the middle.
No.
I will tell you this. I saw somebody post.
How heavy is the popcorn that's keeping the seat down?
I saw somebody Cameron. Post. Oh, but the big ones. You got the big loungers now. They just stay down by themselves. I saw somebody post the other day that he went to the movie with his family. They took the four seats in the perfect spot, right? Middle, a little bit up, so you don't have to do the neck thing. And he said someone came in and they sat right next to him. Empty theater. So it was him and his three family members, so the four of them, and then they had a family of four, and he said there was a baby, and they sat right next to them with the baby.
I'm moving.
Or I'm saying something to the person. Yes.
What are you saying?
You're not saying anything.
I have.
You're a big, and again, you like Chewy, like to talk
what
a big
were you
game.
About to say? You're a big something, right? You weren't about to say what I thought you were about to say.
No, you just give him the dude, people. Really.
Yeah.
Right?
Right? Right. I've said something to people when it's like, excuse me, there's all that room over here. Can we spread out a little bit?
Could you maybe shove down? Yeah. Is that what it is?
Maybe sure, maybe there's a little liquid courage
it's like
involved.
Getting on Southwest.
Yeah, that's the situation.
It's like getting on Southwest.
Now we're getting down to the bottom.
When you're A-whatever, you're A-15, plenty of seats, and then A-20 comes and sits between me and Angie, and you're like, really, dude? The rest of the plane
just because they want to be close to the front
exactly.
of the plane.
And that's when I do my, I don't blow up. I do the blow up before. She'll just tap me and go, okay. And then I go... then they throw the legs over the middle seat.
So for people who are listening to the radio and not watching on the stream, I thought blow up meant you were about to have a hissy fit.
No.
You're talking about how you just went.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a cartoon.
And your body got bigger. Yeah.
All of a sudden, the chest comes out, the shoulders.
Yeah.
I
just did laugh.
Yeah. I was about to say, the very broad shoulders somehow got broader.
I love that there's just a look your wife shoots you and you know. You're like, it's time.
Because we wait till there's going to be 6 seats available on the plane. You know, if there's 20, you don't have to worry. Or a full flight, you don't have to worry.
Well,
but 6 seats, you're like, all right, this is a competition now.
Not going to have to worry about that for much longer because going to assign seating?
End of the month.
End of the month already?
July, I think, 29th.
Well, that came up on me fast.
Yep.
800-990-3776. The question is, when y'all be on dates with your significant others, do you sit on the same side of the table or across from each other? And Gabe has given us the option number 3, corners. You sit corners next to each other, not next
table.
To in a booth, which is what I was picturing when Miles Turner, Milwaukee Bucks from the Pacers, as we've established, presented this question to us. 800-990-3776. Let us know. We've got Jason Wilde coming up next. He's going to talk to us about Packers training camp and everything that went on yesterday up at 1265. And a lot of other stuff to get to. Brewers got a big win yesterday. That's another series victory for your Brew Crew. We'll talk about all that as Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on.
With a dedicated Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank knows what success looks like. For 15 years, we've been serving businesses, organizations, and individuals in the area with a long-standing commitment to the healthcare and not-for-profit sectors. Whether it's expansion to commercial payments, Fifth Third offers a full suite of financial services and solutions to navigate your organization's complex needs. They have a great team here in Milwaukee. You need to take advantage of it if you're looking to grow your business. So experience the difference with Fifth Third Bank National Association. Custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project this year? Exterior Pros and Baths is here to help you score big with quality home exterior and shower upgrades. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com.
Man, we are so lucky to have Jason Wilde, boots on the ground at Packers training camp, to give us the 411. I almost said 414. Autopilot. Good morning, Jason. How you doing today?
Nike 270s.
While we're doing numbers. What's your biggest takeaway from yesterday? And again, I know we're tempering expectations. We're not getting too high. We're not getting too low about things that happened on day one of training camp in Green Bay. But your biggest takeaway from everything that happened yesterday, including, you know, all of the main characters addressing the media.
Yeah, we're not tempering expectations. That's what my takeaway was. I mean, they're, you know, openly talking about, and this all dates back. And I love that Goody said, that we really took that quote and ran with it. back in January. But when the general manager says we need to ramp up our urgency and it's time we start competing for championships, he knew when he said that what the response was going to be. He knew that those were very big phrases that were going to draw a lot of attention, not just from us, but once we as the media dispensed it from fans. And so, you know, I thought yesterday the message was we're embracing those expectations. And we got a lot of work to do to reach that goal, but I loved what LaFleur had to say yesterday, talking about their, you know, fancy schmancy new locker room and saying, this gives us zero wins. Yeah, it's sexy, but you know what isn't sexy? The work required to become the team that he thinks they're capable of being. So if you're going to embrace those expectations, great. And we're going to hold you to them, and we'll see how this season plays out.
Jason, give me the guy or guys that you saw, like, that came in and you're like, wow, he's really in shape, or he really did some work in the offseason. Is there a guy or plural?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We saw these guys 6 weeks ago, and I can tell you this. Edgerrin Cooper was the guy that we were like, whoa. He went from like 220-ish to 240.
Wow.
And he says he hasn't lost any of his speed. Again, you know, we'll have to wait and see on that. They were, you know, the stuff they ran yesterday, it was still all the same stuff from OTAs and mandatory minicamp, you know, shorts, jerseys, and helmets, you know, no real contact of any kind, no pads. But it was at a higher clip for sure. Like, most of it was jog through or maybe three-quarter speed during the off season, and there were plenty of full speed moments yesterday, so that was noticeable. But yeah, I don't know if there were too many guys that, you know, looked a lot different to me, and there certainly have been years where they did, but Cooper looked the same as when I'd last seen him, and that was the one that you were like, oh, okay, this guy has started to remake his body after a year, you know, in the NFL, a year in an NFL weight room, a year with a nutrition team that was clearly more effective than Texas A&M. So that would be the one guy. And I'm really curious to see, because one of the things that he does really well, as Matt LaFleur would put it, is eat up the grass. He just closes with such speed. If getting stronger so he can handle things at the point of attack better costs him his speed, how does that change him as a player?
Jason, have the Packers or Matt LaFleur talked about, they've gotten off to slow starts the last 4 years. Start of the schedule is pretty tough this year. Have they talked about any way that they want to prepare differently during training camp to try to avoid another slow start with how tough those first two games are?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And not just because I asked the same question and not because he said no. We're not changing anything. We feel good about our plan. So we'll see. But you're right. Two games in 5 days to start the season, both at home, both against NFC contenders. I thought it was a very valid question that needed to be asked. But his indication, I asked Goody it too. And his indication was, you know, we're not changing things just because of the way the schedule starts out. So, very valid.
Well, but I think it's more than just because the schedule's tough. I think it's you've gotten. I mean, I think that's certainly, you know, a part of it, because you look at, okay, but you change things when things aren't working. And I would argue that their plan to get ready for the season the last couple of years hasn't been working.
Yeah, Gabe.
I'm not arguing with you, Jason. I'm just saying, like, it's more than just. That's it's
yes. Oh, I'm aware. Yes. I'm aware. And you know, the only thing that surpassed that answer in my mind was when Pete Doherty from the Press Gazette asked him, if there were no restrictions, would you want to practice more than you're allowed to?
and he said no.
Yeah, that's just a lie, Jason. Of course, coaches want to practice more.
That's just trying to
time in the building.
Kiss up to the players.
The rules are what they are. I get it, but I personally would say that, like, when and look, last year, in fairness, I suppose we have to say this in fairness to the head coach. Last year, in reaction to the slow, uneven start they had in 2023, you know, they did some live tackling at the end of family night. They did change up their approach slightly, trying to lead into Brazil. But no, you're right. I mean, it's a totally valid question. Now, if I would have been LaFleur, I would have said, well, Jason, what do you think we should do differently that we could do in training camp that would allow us to be better at the start of the season? Because I do think, and I don't think he's the only one, I think all these Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan offshoot guys, I think they all have the same belief. I mean, I bet if we went up to Minnesota, we would see the same thing from Kevin O'Connell, who I really like. But I'm guessing they all think it's work smarter, not harder. I do think that that's the mentality, and if that means no, we're not gonna hit more, we're not gonna practice longer, or whatever it might be, you know, that's what they believe, and we'll see how they start the season. I just think if I was Matt LaFleur, I would say, look, I don't think that there's a causation between our approach in training camp and how we play in the opening couple weeks of the season. I think we need to do a better job of executing once we get there. And I don't know, if you're only allowed so much practice time, I'm not sure how you improve that execution.
Jason, because the Packers are publicly owned, we know their finances, unlike a lot of the other teams. Well, I guess all of the other teams in the NFL, and the numbers are staggering. Packers receiving $432.6 million in national revenue from the NFL last season. Ostensibly, that is also what every other team in the league got. The reason, I guess, it becomes interesting for the Packers is because, as far as we know, they are still sort of embroiled in that rent dispute with the city of Green Bay. And our reaction to those numbers was, wow, it makes it really hard to sit here and go, 1 million? 1 million per year? Spit on the hand deal? What was your reaction to that enormous number that was released yesterday?
Yeah, I love the fact that there was one reporter that asked about that number and how that compares to the other teams in the league. The reason why that's so interesting is because they're the only team that has to share that number. And so everyone does what you just did. You multiply that by 32, and now you've got $13.8 billion that came into the league last year, billion with a B. You know, I'm not a brilliant mathematician, but I felt a little bit bad for that young fella who we've all asked bad questions before. Not as bad as the one that asked, you know, how much did it affect the bottom line for this past season that you guys didn't make the playoffs? So they made the playoffs. They didn't play. Now, if you want to ask over the last 2 years, how much has it hurt them financially, air quotes hurt, that they haven't had a playoff game at home, that's another discussion. But they are making such a ridiculous amount of money, it's not even funny. Again, as a Green Bay resident, I don't want my house to start on fire, but if it does, I would like the fire department to be able to come and put it out. And I don't think the Packers need to be cutting corners on their tax bill in order to save a few shekels.
They're a nonprofit. They're a nonprofit. Like, how are we, like, how are they haggling? Like, what else are you doing with that money?
They're tricking out the locker room, bro.
Yeah, and they've got a lot of money left over.
Well, and you could argue, though, that that is an investment, and you can prove a return on investment, because when you look around the league, Jason, everybody else is upgrading their facilities. Everybody else is upgrading their locker room. And it's always been, Chewy has talked to us about this, like, you can't really be behind the eight ball on that stuff, especially if you want to be in the market for free agents. You want to be able to say, we have state-of-the-art facilities to encourage guys to want to join your team.
Yeah, no question it's an investment in their team. It's not an investment in the community. Like, they're not allowing tourists to go sit in the leather chair that's in front of Jordan Love's locker.
Be cool if they did, though.
So, yeah, it's a great investment in the team. And you're 1,000% right. Like, I was talking to some guys yesterday about it. And, again, I love that LaFleur said that it doesn't win them any games. But it does matter, especially if, you know, you're trying to recruit players in free agency. And it's also worth noting that a bunch of these guys have come from football programs that their locker room still is nicer than what the Packers did with theirs, right? Like Texas, Ohio State, like probably not Boston College. But to me, that all makes sense. But it is hard, and I will say this. They do have something to worry about financially, and that is the advent of private equity being allowed in the league. And, Mark Murphy, I'm not his favorite reporter, but he had to acknowledge a few good questions from me yesterday. And one of them was about private equity, because it used to be that Jerry Jones, I remember this very vividly, probably a decade ago, whatever the last stock sale was, Jerry Jones was asking, hey, can I sell stock in the Cowboys? And, of course, what he meant was, can I sell meaningless stock and take $250 donations from all my Cowboy fans to generate revenue. And now with the advent of private equity, if your team is valued at $6.5 billion, you're allowed to do private equity of 10%. So overnight, you can raise $650 million, which is more than the Packers have in their corporate reserve fund. So I understand that piece of it. Now, the salary cap's in place, the revenue sharing's in place. The Packers are not in danger of struggling financially because of all this, but it is a challenge for them to figure out. They can't have a stock sale every year. All of that said, they are in such incredibly good position financially that they do not need to be crying poverty in any way, shape, or form.
Jason, real quick, did you see Goody talk about the left tackle competition? I mean, what
I did, I was in there. The guys carried this for me so I could go.
Yeah, what he essentially said, and he said it's Rashid Walker's job to lose. Do you believe that?
I hope he's being honest. I mean, look, again, he also said that his understanding is that once Elton Jenkins' back issue clears up, he's going to practice, and he's all in. Okay. We've done right by Elton, and Elton's done right by us. Okay. I'll believe all those things when I see them, because he does have a bit of a track record of saying things that did not happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Jones, absolutely going to be with you. Oh, we're going to re-sign Devontae. He's a Hall of Fame player, et cetera, et cetera. I hope that's true, because Rashid Walker, I had a great exchange with him, because he was not enjoying the discussion about his having to compete for his job. And he said, what am I supposed to say? I said, well, I would say, hey, man, I started 35 games for you guys at left tackle. I saved your asses when Bakhtiari was done after one game 2 years ago. I think I've earned this spot, and I'm not going to get complacent. But are you kidding me, trying to give away my job?
Mm.
I said, that's what I would say, but I'm pretty soft when it comes to that. And he laughed, and he had this great line. He said, they don't make Band-Aids for feelings. Which is true. I've tried. But the reality is that unless he falls flat on his face, they don't belong replacing him. And I understand the pressure of wanting a first-round pick on the field. But him and Sean Ryan are in the final years of their contracts. And if Goody is thinking long-term and doesn't plan on re-signing either of those guys because he re-signed Zach Tom, those guys should play. He should pray that they play really well, not only to protect Love, but so then they get big contracts elsewhere and you get a multiple picks in compensatory picks, and then Jordan Morgan can start next year, and you get extra picks for it as well. And if somebody gets hurt, Jordan Morgan can go in wherever they need him.
Jason, good stuff this morning. We really appreciate you. We understand that we are very lucky to have you there in Green Bay covering training camp every single day. So thank you for that.
You're welcome for my service. That is what they pay me to do, though, so I'm just doing my job.
You're a grinder.
Just like Chewy.
Yeah.
Although he did take a shot at BC. I don't know if you heard that. There was a shot. I was like, Chew.
I love Jason.
Jason, have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
I love you guys too. Take care. Be good.
You can listen to Jason Wilde on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.
Well, if you love somebody the way we love Jason, might be time to go get a ring. Of course, the only place to get that diamond engagement ring in Milwaukee is the Jewelry Center. You've heard Chew and I talk about Dean the Dancing Machine for years at this point, because there's a reason that the best place to go is the Jewelry Center. It's that team that they have assembled, whether you're going to Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington, the helpful team always going to point you in the right direction. Whether you know what you're looking for and just want to take a look at the selection, whether you don't know what you're looking for, maybe bring something in from her Pinterest page. That helpful team at the Jewelry Center is always going to point you in the right direction, whether it's a naturally mined diamond, a lab-grown diamond, the Jewelry Center has you covered. Take a look online, shoptjc.com, or go into Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington. And if you go to the Jewelry Center, you make sure you tell them that Gabe and Chew sent you.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you know that fact, though?
No, I didn't.
You didn't know that fact?
Is that just a fact, Brig?
Yeah. I mean, that's what Chewy does. Chewy knows the most facts of anyone on the show.
He also knows the most fiction.
On 94.5 ESPN.
If you missed any of our conversation with Jason Wilde about day one of training camp in Green Bay, you can always find it on the brand new, did I hear Alex Strofe call it sexy yesterday, Josh DiMaggio?
Yeah, he did that.
I'm not going to go that far.
We don't have to oversell it.
But it is pretty special, the new ESPN Wisconsin app. You can find Jason Wilde's content there. We were talking about Elgton Jenkins, and I think this is a worthy conversation because I agree that everything Elgton Jenkins has done to this point has been in support of the Green Bay Packers. He has been, for lack of a better term, a good soldier for this organization. Gabe, how do you explain this perceived or, you know, this alleged competition? And I know what Matt LaFleur said yesterday. Matt LaFleur, everything is a competition. Really? You got competition at quarterback, Matt LaFleur. You got competition at starting safety, Matt LaFleur. You got competition at running back, Matt LaFleur. Like, no, we know where guys have earned the number one spot, where they are entering the season as the de facto number one. Why isn't Elgton Jenkins getting that same courtesy, Gabe?
Well, I mean, Elgton will once he's healthy. I mean, he's the center. He just is, flat out, he is the center. If they actually had a different center they felt good about, they'd have kept Elgton at guard, and they wouldn't have brought in a high-priced free agent to play left guard. So he's the center. He's going to be the guy. Once this, I'm going to tell you this. I've got a sneaking suspicion that once this contract thing gets figured out for Elgton, I think his back might magically feel better.
Here's the thing. They know Elgton can play, doesn't need a lot of training camp, and what the Packers want is him to get Wally pipped. It's just what they want to happen.
Why?
Because they do not want to guarantee his next year money. They're fine guaranteeing his this year money. They don't want to guarantee next year. So they're going to give it time before they sign him to see what kind of player Monk is. Because I Wally pip Jackie Harris. Jackie Harris was here, good player, not Pro Bowl, but close to being a Pro Bowl player.
Bad teammate.
And I'll never forget. I went to Arizona because they were for minicamp because they were building the Hudson Center, tore it down, and Jackie refused to show up. I was the only tight end at OTAs. Because it was before the draft and things like that. Ed West was hurt. And Holmgren saw that That I took every single rep in OTAs, and they said, screw Jackie Harris. He eventually leaves, go to Tampa Bay. He doesn't do anything. And then I continue on an upward path. That's what they want to happen. They want to see Jacob Monk in these first 3 weeks go, ha, we got a player here. Okay.
But don't they kind of already know what they have? And if they knew, and if they,
I don't think,
and if they knew what they have, why would they sign a big money free agent at left guard?
I agree. The thing that was concerning to me that he didn't even get a sniff last year. And when they had that debacle in Philadelphia, they were putting everyone in except him because your center also has to be able to play guard.
Yeah. They're right? putting tackles at guard.
So I don't think they know what they have there. And he's only going into his second year, but that's what they want to happen. You know, I'm not saying Elgton Jenkins doesn't get re-signed, but they don't want to fully guarantee his next year's contract. And that's why they're stuck where they're
at. Would a fair compromise be taking a big chunk of his base salary next year and turning into a roster bonus that triggers early in next year's season? Because I think, especially after the way the Jair Alexander thing went down and they waited forever to release him, Elgton Jenkins is going, well, if they release, when are they going to release me? They just going to hold on to me? Oh, okay, now we can release you. Force that decision earlier and go, hey, you don't want to guarantee money? All right, let's take this. Let's make it a roster bonus that's due on, I mean, a lot of people do year three of the league year. And then that way, you're a free agent when everybody else is a free agent. And you still have a chance to go somewhere and be somebody's primary guard or center and still get some of the money that you would lose because of your contract.
Is it as simple, Chew and Gabe, as the control? Is it as simple as we know how you get a guy in there that you draft? They maybe, again, Monk did not play a lot as a rookie, right, if I'm following?
I don't think he played at all.
He didn't play any offensive
because they had the opportunity to put him in, and like you guys said, they used other guys instead. And then saying, we've got control of this guy for an extended period of time, we can basically pay low. Is that like the incentive here? Do they genuinely believe that Jacob Monk is the center of the future for the Green Bay Packers? Is that what you think they believe today, July 2025?
No, that's why they want to give him 3 weeks without Elton being signed to see what they have there, right?
But you don't want to go 3 weeks without your center in camp. It's not like, again, Chew, it's not like
maybe
your
not
day
three
when,
weeks, but they want to see what they have there, you know? And
that's what
Goody's
OTAs
MO,
is for.
Goody's MO, and we all know it. He doesn't want 30-year-olds on this team.
Yeah.
He just doesn't want 30-year-olds on this team, which is weird because you have a guy that is so loyal, plays hurt.
But also at the offensive line position, and again, maybe I'm exaggerating this because it's convenient for my argument, but it feels like veteranness at those positions is a value. It feels like some of the best linemen in the league are guys who are over the hill, quote unquote, because they've been there, done that for so long, it's second nature. It feels like a position that when you if you start out. Again, there are guys who jump into the league at the position on the offensive line and do extremely well. But when I think of the best ones out there, Gabe, most of them are older. Maybe Penny Sewell is going to be the guy where you're like, oh, he's young and he's good. But like for the most part, I was thinking about like the Eagles offensive line and how they had like veteran.
But there's a lot of those veterans. Again, the reason why he doesn't want people over 30 is because the injuries happen, and then you have to replace them. And then you have to go, okay, we've got to have depth. If we've got this 32-year-old left tackle, we got to make sure we have a good backup guy because chances are he's missing games at 32, 33.
They're not looking for Zach Tom to start this year. They're looking for him to start next year. They're not looking for him to start this year. They just want to know.
Jacob Monk.
Yeah. Jacob Monk, sorry. Yeah, they're looking
See,
for
I was
him
like,
to start.
I'm pretty sure
Why,
based
what
on what
did I say?
You said, Zach Tom, and I was like, I'm fairly certain they want him to be out there.
I thought that's what the money was for, but maybe I'm wrong.
No, but they're not looking for him to start this year. What's his name? Jacob Monk.
There it is.
Yeah.
And then, you know what? This maybe goes back to the argument you made at the beginning of the show about everybody having the same name.
Exactly.
Monk, Tom, they both have an O.
One syllable.
One syllable.
And they're both squatty bodies.
There you go.
The open road is calling your name. And the ride begins at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel, Milwaukee. This July, you can burn some major rubber on the custom Harley-Davidson of your dreams in the Fire Up Your Fantasy motorcycle giveaway. Play with your rewards card all July for entries, Thursday drawings for extra cash, and reward play. Fire Up Your Fantasy is only available at Pottawatomie. More information is available online. Must be 21 years old and a rewards member to play.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Though, right?
Yeah.
Kinda like a, oof, like just, instead of a, huh.
Yeah. But that's all part of you taking the I'm training law.
I do, but it's just such funny noises.
Did this get sexual or something? I don't know about it. What the hell just happened?
On 94.5 ESPN.
There you go again. For your next night out, revel in the fusion and artistry and flavor with Sushi at St. Kate. It offers guests an elevated experience where freshness and creativity converge in every bite. St. Kate, the Arts Hotel, introduces the addition of an exciting new sushi menu to its culinary repertoire. Indulge in the finest seafood, freshest ingredients, expert craftsmanship for an inspired and delectable dining journey. Experience the art of sushi at St. Kate. Learn more at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com. My question, and I think it's a good one, I think it's a reasonable one, is how does this keep happening? What am I referring to? Well, our guy Alex Stroph decided to once again show off his athleticism. I hope you could hear those air quotes, by the way. I hope you could hear them in my delivery. His athleticism yesterday up in Green Bay. Joshy, you were up there with him. Did they have some sort of like fan zone? Or I saw this video of him running the 40-yard dash and it looked like it was all measured out. Like, where were y'all?
I was not there for this portion of it, but it is part of like the title town. It's sort of just the attractions that they have during training camp and you can go do the stuff. So there is a 40 time where it's 40 yards. They could give you a ready, set, go, and you race. If you go watch KBN or some of the clips that were shared, he's often racing what are 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old children.
And they're probably winning.
Stroh's fastest time was 6:03.
Didn't he claim that he thought he got under 6?
Yes, he did claim that because he thought he started late, which is, I mean, reaction time is also a part of athleticism.
Yeah, that's...
Now, if you're not watching on the YouTube stream, and I highly recommend that for this type of conversation, our guy Chu is having a facial reaction.
Well, can you imagine racing the 100-meter dash and losing to Usain Bolt? Well, I got off to a slow start, so I really was faster than that. Like, no, that's getting off the line is a part of the whole thing. It's a part of the whole thing.
I mean, it's enough. Dude, we already know you're a complete dork, all right? You're just trying to out-dork your dorkiness. You don't have to do it anymore. When you did the combine stuff, it looked like you had a huge load in your pants, okay? Enough. You're a dork. Everyone knows you're a dork, right? Right?
I mean, he can't redeem himself.
No, there's no...
When you have zero athleticism, you can't redeem that.
See, I kind of thought that maybe if there was, like, some coaching that went into this, or there was some, like, dedication to the craft, we would see some improvement. It is very clear now that he either has no interest in that, or coaching wouldn't help. Because I saw a field goal kick attempt also yesterday, and, you know when you're golfing and you go... What do they call it? Like a
hosel rock.
Worm burner.
Yeah, worm burner. He just topped the golf ball.
That's what the field goal. There was
never left
zero air. He did not get it off the ground.
You can't you can't do a soccer style kick with your toe.
That's what he tried to do.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Straight up shank.
You can't. It's just like.
But you remember the famous photo from Brett after you guys beat the Bengals? And he had to hold it.
Yeah.
And he was worried that Jackie was going to kick his hand. So then he put it. Chris Jackie's a professional. He's never going to kick your hand.
Yeah.
Stroph might kick your hand. Like, I understand. If whoever was holding that decided to let
him. No.
Because whoever was holding that yesterday, Stroph was closer to kicking their hand than the actual meat of the football.
Not the hand. There's more concern that he'd kick the body of the holder. You know what I mean? I wouldn't be worried about the hand. He'd kick you right in the belly button.
So they need to have one of those self-holders.
Correct.
So then he's not actually injuring anyone.
Give it up. I'm just trying to think of something he could do where it would look halfway athletic.
Checkers? Think he'd look okay?
Bowling? Is bowling
no,
hard?
Hell no.
Because there's a lot of, what do you call it? Like rhythm timing that goes into and that. Rhythm. And like
it's strength.
Not choreography, but sure. Ron in the key weighing in saying the air quotes Jen just did were more athletic than anything Alex Strofe has
you know
ever
what?
Done.
And they do this. I don't know if they do it anymore at the Milwaukee Mile where they let you go on the track and drive your car. Try that. Please. Because that would be entertaining to see you put it right into the wall. Right?
You don't think
you because
can drive?
They claim that NASCAR drivers and stuff, and they are athletes.
Well, you have to have a quick reaction time when you're moving at 200 miles an hour and
a
cars
lot of
are that close
strength,
to you.
Honestly, yeah. And you're stabilizing that wheel that wants to fight you.
Now, you refused to drive with him yesterday, correct?
Yes.
Because he's a bad driver?
No, it's just because he's annoying.
There you have it.
If you haven't seen the video, I believe it is shared on all of ESPN Milwaukee's socials. Take a look, man. Is there any hope for this kid? I'm crossing my fingers, but I'm losing hope. Then Gabe and Chewy rolls on after this.